This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2039. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded June 18th, Antarctica, France, Germany, Iran, Korea, South and North, Mexico, Nigeria, North America, Oklahoma, Sarawak, Somalia, Ukraine, UK, USA, shake-up at USAGM and VOA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, since this is a leap year, the calendar date for the beginning of summer or winter, the solstice, appears to be one day earlier than usual, that is Saturday, June 20th, precisely at 21:45 UT. Nevertheless, we now know that the annual special for the few dozen scientists at the British Antarctic Survey, which the BBC carries out, remains on the traditional date, Sunday, June 21st, even though it's exactly one day later than the beginning of the season. And again, like last year, some test broadcasts were carried out exactly one week earlier to check out the best frequencies. They were 6170-9580 via Ascension, 5790 and 7360 via Wolverton, UK. As Richard Langley points out, probably only three of those four will actually be used. Thanks to Ivo Ivanov, Hans-Jürg Biener, and others for checking this out. Of course, reception over here in North America is anything but good. 2130 UT Sunday, June 21st until 2200. If you do miss the program and would still like to hear it, no doubt it will be available on the BBC website. It consists of greetings from family members and brief bits of music. Upon Oswego Marsh State Beach, California, Ron Howard notes a greatly extended broadcast from Radio 4KZ in Queensland, Australia, 5055, June 15th. They close down at 51 seconds past 10:01 UT, their normal cutoff, as each day the timer closes them down about 5 seconds earlier. However, he retuned again at 10:39 and found them back on the air, and they were still going past 14:10 with their usual format of pop songs. He then got a reply from General Manager Al Curtin explaining this. I was asked by some DXers to leave it on a bit later, as we had been off for several days. From France via Channel 292 in Germany, Atlantic 2000 International will broadcast its 38th anniversary special Saturday, June 20th at 08:09 UT on 6070 and 7440. And stay tuned to 6070 Saturday, June 20th at 09:10 UT, when Texas Radio Shortwave, an American free radio station, will be broadcasting via Channel 292. The first program highlights Buddy Holly. Their broadcasts are scheduled for the third Saturday of each month with 10 kilowatts on 6070. Kai Ludwig in Germany forwards a story from Radio Farda, headline Iran to shut down several TV channels beaming programs to other countries, dated June 10th. Iran's state television may have to shut down several foreign language channels due to financial strains caused by sanctions, mismanagement, falling viewership figures, and long-standing differences between the state broadcaster and the presidential administration. So we're wondering if this might also apply to external shortwave broadcasts. The story does mention that Iranian radio's Dari service has already been closed due to accrued debts to satellite providers. However, Kai says, June 14th at 12 UT, there is still some transmission on 13680 scheduled for IRIB and Dari. Badly undermodulated, distorted audio, but it sounds like typical IRIB programming. Ron Howard's weekly update on the jump-around frequencies for South Korean clandestines toward the north as of Monday, June 15th. Checked at 0946, VOP on 3480, 3915, 3930. 4450, 6520, and 6600. And a few minutes earlier, VOH was on 3990, 4885, 6000, 6250, 6355, and 9100. It's the peak of the sporadic EFMDX season. I logged several stations from Mexico in Durango, Coahuila, and Baja California, early UT, June 13th, detailed in my log reports. Voice of Nigeria is often missing from its scheduled 06 UT broadcast on 7255. However, on June 18th, I had them on their alternate frequency, 9689.920. All three of their frequencies are always offset considerably minus. June 14th at 0156, I found North American Pirate Radio Nova just as they were signing off, 6935 USB. And within an hour, I got an unsolicited but appreciated EQSL. And I also got one from Texas Radio Shortwave, 6925 USB. These now appear in my QSL gallery via worldofradio.com. Our strongest and most reliable ND beacon has been on 515 kHz, PN in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Not too far away, but with a much stronger signal than the other Okies we can hear by groundwave in the daytime or at night in Enid, Stillwater, and Oklahoma City. However, PN was unusually missing for a while on June 14th and 18th. About the clandestine radio Nyuawa Sarawak missing from 11890, Ron Howard says their website has been updated. They were supposed to return on June 13th, but that was apparently a mistake, as it was changed to Monday, June 15th, as they were formerly on the air Monday through Friday. But Ron Howard now has this further explanation as of June 17th. Radio Nyawa Sarawak, X11890, is no longer on shortwave and no longer a separate organization. It has reverted back to being Radio Free Sarawak, RFS, and is only available online and via WhatsApp links. On June 15th, I checked 11890 for what their website indicated would be their reactivation, but it was clearly absent. Now the website has been completely updated and redesigned. No reference to shortwave. Instead has new RFS programs via audio streaming, and the only ID is RFS. So tune in online only to radiofreesarawak.org. Ron says the first time I ever heard RFS on shortwave was April 2011, when they were via Koror Palau on 15420. I'll certainly miss catching them on shortwave. About the new frequency of Warsan Radio Somalia, first reported last week, 7110. Bruce Churchill in California says on June 12th, after getting a heads up from Hassan Toube that they moved to 7110, I tuned there at 1800 to hear a pretty decent signal on upper sideband. That was as of the day before, via a remote in New Zealand. Mount O'Regal replies it's actually with upper sideband and reduced carrier visible since 1530 in Finland on 7109.99. Of course, that is in the 40-meter ham band. Bruce said, I was wondering why they moved since 7750 was a good clear frequency. Hard to criticize them, however, since Eritrea is on 7140 and 7180. I will try to encourage them to stay on 7750, a clear frequency, during their evening broadcast hours. And, of course, Radio Hargeisa Somaliland used to be on 7120. Bruce has continued contacts with Hassan at Warsan Radio. The transmitter is an ICOM M700. He even sent a photo of it. But not sure about the antenna, but it surely works. A 100-watt signal getting into New Zealand takes a good antenna. I believe they're running slightly less than 100 watts. Not far away, also in the 40-meter ham band, is the Russian-Ukrainian radio war. Chuck Gessner forwards an item from ARRL News about this. The IARU Region 1 Monitoring System newsletter reports the Russian-Ukrainian radio war, raging for years, at 7055 LSB, also 7050 or 7060, reached a new escalation level in May. Almost every day one heard the most massive mutual insults and aggressive, provocative hate rap music in Russian, the newsletter editor said, and from time to time we saw insulting symbols such as skulls in the waterfall. It's believed the perpetrators are located in the border region of eastern Ukraine with the Russian Federation. In May, a digital jammer appeared with interference temporarily up to about 12 to 15 kilohertz. IARUMS has no means to stop this radio war only national authorities can do something with international complaints. Mike Bearclough quotes an item from the printed edition of the Times of June 15th from media correspondent Matthew Moore. State payout to save jobs at BBC World Service. The Foreign and Commonwealth Office has agreed to pay more than 40 megapounds to prevent mass jobs losses at the BBC WS. The Foreign Secretary confirmed the amount in a letter to the BBC Director General. The money will ensure the survival of the World Service expansion program for another 6 months. The renewal was approved after weeks of negotiations between the national broadcaster and government, amid fears in the BBC that ministers could use the money for leverage on other issues, such as delaying the scrapping of free licenses for over 75s. BBC bosses have been drawing up plans to make up to 1,200 people redundant. The BBC chairman said that reducing World Service funding risked emboldening democratic disruption by Russian and Chinese propaganda outlets. The BBC is forecast to lose 125 megapounds this year as a result of the coronavirus. John Filiozzi replies, "It's quite sad to witness the stark contrast between how the British government is treating the BBC World Service and how the current and previous American governments have treated the VOA. And Dan Robinson, ex-VOA, replies, "BBC is and has been a whole different ballgame. It's listened to and viewed the world over, complete with its superb 24-hour TV operation, has first-class programs like NewsHour and others that are aired on U.S. stations, and as our reporting at U.S. AGM BBG Watch has shown, demonstrates time and again that it often reports with more quality and depth on events in the United States than does the Voice of America. As we hope for the sporadic E maximum usable frequency to surge up into the FM broadcast band, we can at least monitor for beacons on the 10-meter ham band. Most of them are very low power, roughly between 28.2 and 28.3 megahertz. There is an exhaustive list of them, many of which I assume are not really active, at this website, owned by WJ50, who happens to be one of the beacons I actually heard. He's in Troy, Alabama, on 28289.3. www.qsl.net/WJ50/BCN.htm. Via international vacuum, internet, AM, FM, and shortwave, World of Radio 2039. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from Ron Howard in Monterey, California, who sent a check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Major news this week concerning shakeups at the U.S. Agency for Global Media and the Voice of America. Mike Cooper sends a VOA story of June 14th that a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention email released under the Freedom of Information Act tells communications staff there to ignore media requests from Voice of America. It says, note, as a rule, do not send up requests for Great of Ancestrin or anyone affiliated with Voice of America. Veteran U.S. news anchor and lawyer Vancestrin hosts the weekly plugged-in news show with VOA and also works for the U.S. broadcaster Gray Television. She says, the thing that's stunning to me is that it's VOA and I'm specifically named, and nobody at the CDC or the White House or anyplace else has ever said that my reporting on the coronavirus or anything else has been unfair or inaccurate. It was absurd to blackball a person. This and all the stories I'm quoting from are, of course, much more detailed, much longer, and can be read in full or reached via the World of Radio IO group. Stephen Michael Kellett quotes this from Mediaite, headline, "What is VOA and why does Trump suddenly hate them with the heat of a thousand suns?" He had a big flare-up at the start of April and then apparently dismissed out of hand a VOA correspondent's questions during a press conference. The directive at CDC happened at the end of April. The funny bit is that Greta Van Susteren used to work for Fox News for a mere 14 years. John Filiozzi replies, what's most troubling about this is that the Trump administration apparently is blind to the direct parallel its reactions draw with press relations techniques used by the Chinese and Russian governments, just to name two authoritarian states. Just in time for last week's program, we had news that Michael Pak had finally been confirmed to head the U.S. Agency for Global Media, after which heads were expected to roll at the behest of Trump. Via David Cole, the Lifestyle section of the Washington Post reported June 15th. Top VOA editors resign amid strife with the White House and arrival of new Trump-appointed director. The two top editors at VOA resigned Monday amid White House criticism of the government-funded but editorially independent news agency, and as a new overseer loyal to President Trump was about to take office. VOA Director Amanda Bennett and Deputy Director Sandy Sugawara submitted their resignations in a memo to staff saying it's time for us to leave, but cited no specific reason other than the arrival of Pak. The White House in April launched an extraordinary public attack on the International News Service, accusing VOA of promoting Chinese government propaganda in reporting on the coronavirus outbreak. Trump has publicly praised Pak, but his nomination had been held up in the Senate for more than 2 years, with Democrats raising questions about alleged financial improprieties in his nonprofit film production company. Politico.com has also been covering this. Greg Hardison comments, Michael Pak will now be free to choose underlings more along the approved ideological lines, such as Alex Jones, Michelle Malkin, Sean Hannity, or maybe even Junior Butthead Trump, known for his Twitter propensities, a chip off the old block. Steve McDonald in British Columbia says, VOA now down the toilet, at least until January. Dan Robinson quotes from BBG Watch, since Trump took office, an anonymous source says, VOA English news coverage has primarily reported liberal viewpoints on U.S. political issues and minimized or excluded conservative opinions. Leaders of the VOA English newsroom know this, but don't see it as a problem, because they collectively believe conservative viewpoints are some combination of stupid, illegitimate, extremist, conspiracy theories, and lies. And now one man's opinion from John Filiozzi. Whenever I hear someone say the word balanced when discussing journalism, I get nervous. Accuracy and impartiality are the values that, in my opinion, should hold sway in any newsroom, including and especially VOA. That is, if VOA is truly going to represent this nation's core values. Balance implies, to me, a more manufactured and therefore undeserved and inaccurate equality among differing views. This is where alternate facts come from, an oxymoron if there ever was one. These anonymous leaks to BBG Watch should be taken with a huge grain of salt. They sound like the kinds of things new regimes say as justification for the coup they're about to mount. I've been listening more closely to VOA over the last few months as the topic of its charter and people allied with the extreme nationalist views of Steve Bannon came more into view. I haven't noticed any clear bias, as mentioned in the BBG piece. My biggest takeaway is how incomplete the VOA looks against an entity like the BBC. It comes across as underfunded and underpopulated, but not biased. And the dysfunction that has characterized the last 3.5 years extends into yet another corner of American life. What else is there to wreck? Following are comments from Mike Cooper in Atlanta, who actually listens to VOA more than most of us via satellite, if not shortwave. There appear to be some individuals whose views are expressed on BBG Watch who push the claim that VOA suffers from a liberal bias, the same sort of vague accusation thrown against the fake news media. VOA's current reporting is so shallow, there is no room for it to be biased. Reports during the hourly newscast come from Associated Press Radio and Reuters. Is AP Radio pushing a liberal agenda? Is Reuters anti-conservative? I also hear no bias during longer-form news programs such as International Edition, nor even Issues in the News and Encounter. Issues has had strong conservative commentators participating or hosting in recent years. Has someone made a tally showing that more liberals participate than conservatives? Do they get more minutes in the program? have conservatives asked to be on the program and then been rejected because of their political viewpoint? Is the guest list on Encounter packed with left-wingers? And exactly where have conservative opinions been minimized or excluded by VOA? During hourly newscasts, during International Edition, or Learning English? Is correspondent Phil Mercer a Chinese plant? Is Lisa Schlein a biased liberal by virtue of the fact she covers the UN and the World Health Organization? Is Larry London playing records on border crossings that contain a subliminal message promoting water fluoridation? I would like to see evidence to support the claim that VOA primarily reports liberal viewpoints. What's the percentage? 70? 90? Where is the content analysis? I'm glad to hear there are some editors who are not willing to accept all conservative viewpoints without fact-checking. Good. It's apparent some views supported by the current president are not supported by fact. If views are illegitimate or conspiracy theories and lies, they do not deserve equal time. Are some people just positioning themselves as defenders of conservatism so they can be put in charge during the Trump administration? They're probably salivating over the new vacancies. See the Wall Street Journal of June 15th for another story about this, thanks to David Cole. Via Mike Cooper, Brian Stelter, and Jim Acosta reported on CNN June 16th. A well-placed VOA employee said there are internal discussions about a sizable shakeup coming to the agency that may include former White House official and conservative radio host Sebastian Gorka taking on a leadership position. His partisan background, such an appointment would send a major message about VOA shifting to become a mouthpiece for the administration. Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener in Germany opines, if you listen to the other voices from America, like Alex Jones on WWCR, Hal Turner on BCQ and RMI, and many of the religious end-time programs, I tend to agree that these conservative viewpoints are some combination of stupid, illegitimate, extremist, conspiracy theories, and lies, quote-unquote. I was really shocked when I heard references to Alex Jones on CNN, as well as during my live watching of the impeachment hearings. I would tend to think that not only the BBG, US AGM, and the Trump presidency are dysfunctional, what about US society in general? The value of VOA journalism should be self-evident to any believer in the value of a free press. It was Mr. Bannon, then head of the far-right website Breitbart, who more than 2 years ago tried to put his man, Michael Pack, at the helm of VOA. But the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, first under Bob Corker, a Tennessee Republican and Trump critic, and then under the more Trump-friendly Jim Risch of Idaho, was in no rush to confirm Mr. Pack until something prodded Mr. Trump to launch an attack on VOA 2 months ago. In her farewell message, Amanda Bennett assured VOA staffers that, quote, Michael Pack swore before Congress to respect and honor the firewall that guarantees VOA's independence, which in turn plays the single most important role in the stunning trust our audiences around the world have in us. It may be that Pack will respect the firewall. His past is patchy. He hired Mr. Bannon, an icon of the alt-right, as a consultant on two documentaries. Trump wants a bullhorn, not a diplomatic instrument, and he insists on loyalty. The specter of turning VOA into a propaganda tool of the White House should be frightening to all Americans, regardless of political leanings. Dan Robinson forwards Michael Pack's first message to staffers as CEO on June 17th. I think it's safe to summarize by saying it contains the usual platitudes. It really sounds wonderful. Oops, he forgot to mention he's a Bannon ally or his connection with Clarence Thomas. Mike Cooper says, will he respect the VOA charter in the same manner he respects the IRS? Pack is currently under investigation by a federal prosecutor. And then he forwards the comments of Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon on the Senate floor the day before Pack's confirmation. You may look up Senate Resolution Number 604. Matthew Lee of the Associated Press reported on June 17th, via Mike Cooper and also quoted by Politico.com via David Cole, U.S. broadcasting chief fires agency heads in major reshuffle. The new chief of U.S. AGM fired the heads of at least two outlets he oversees and replaced their boards with allies in a move likely to raise fears he intends to turn the Voice of America and its sister outlets into Trump administration propaganda machines. Pack informed those he dismissed in email notices just hours after he had sought to play down those concerns in an email to staff, saying he's committed to ensuring the independence of the broadcasters who are delivering independent news and info to audiences around the world. Among those removed from their positions were the heads of Radio Free Asia and Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty. Pack also announced he had removed all the current members of the board of directors, named himself chairman, and installed his own team. Pack had also said his first priority was to raise employee morale. John Filiozzi replies, "These precipitous moves should really raise morale, right? Yeah. And so it begins." Greg Hardison replies, "Breitbart on the airwaves, Radio Free Steve Bannon. Now we'll hear all about Obamagate and those secret camps on Mars where Obama and Hillary are keeping all those kidnapped Republican children, training them to be frontline soldiers for Antifa." Bob Bierman in Florida says, "Sorry, the VOA had become one of the most political voices of just one party. I listened to their newscasts in disgust, how they misrepresented facts on a daily basis. The best thing we can do is shut the entire thing down." To which John Filiozzi replies, "Funny, Bob. I've also been listening to VOA closely and come to the opposite conclusion about bias in its coverage from yours. In the current atmosphere, it reports accurately what the president and administration say, and also accurately on what its opposition say. To me, the core problem with VOA is that its mission has become unclear. Even Trump-supporting Republicans delayed PAC's confirmation for over 2 years. That alone should tell you something." Stephen Michael Kellett asks, "Any hope of political will being out there in the future to change course from this?" Kim Elliott, formerly with VOA, replies, "Not during the Trump administration. U.S. international broadcasting will have to be rebuilt from the ashes, preferably as a consolidated global multilingual multimedia corporation with a strong board as firewall." And Kim Elliott has just published a piece in TheHill.com titled "Repoliticizing Voice of America," dated June 17th. Reading that item, I found a link to one more story ending this thread for now in The Hill. House Democrat says planned U.S. media agency firings are put on hold. The top House Democrat with oversight of foreign affairs says, hours after warnings that firings were imminent, Representative Elliot Engel of New York, chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, said on Twitter he learned that this short-sighted plan was fortunately put on hold. Ron Howard updates us on Radio Vanuatu as of June 16th on its third harmonic 11835. Heard for an hour from 0455 discussing the upcoming session of Parliament. He says it seems that fundamental 3945 is the only frequency in use now. It closed at 1104 on June 15th and June 12th. Clearly no longer on 2485 between 10 and 11. The propagation outlook from SWPC in Boulder issued June 15th. Geomagnetic field, quiet levels, A and K indices of 5 and 2, except unsettled July 4th, 6th, and 7th, 8 and 3. Solar flux 68 until June 29th, ascending to 70. That's World of Radio 2039. Glenn Hauser, many thanks for listening, and hear me again next week. To conclude with a standard disclaimer.